Maximum Health with your host, Dr. Ken Gray. Dr. Gray obtained his master's in both acupuncture and oriental medicine from the Atlantic Institute of Oriental Medicine. Dr. Gray enjoys both being a physician as well as being an educator. His unique approach to holistic healing has taken him abroad to lecture in Germany and treat sports professionals in Hawaii and France. He is co-author of several books on food therapy. His office is in Jupiter, Florida, where he has practiced for over a decade and where he resides. Now it's time for Maximum Health with Dr. Ken Gray.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Maximum Health Radio, Quality Living, with yours truly, Dr. Ken Gray, holistic physician. And we thank you for joining us every Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard on 88.9 FM, WQCS, NPR of the Treasure Coast. And also, if you've missed any past shows and would like to catch this again once you've listened to it and listened to it again and again and refer other people to it, PRX.org is a great resource. It's free and it's online, and you can listen to Maximum Health over and over and over again. As always, we have a special guest every week, and we are a national show that focuses, or and sometimes international, but we focus on health of all shapes, sizes, and colors. We think wellness here is more than just what you put in your body or what you do to it. It's emotional and environmental in nature. It's spiritual. It's so much. And today we're going to cover something very important to all of us, because of the growing concern of cancer. There's a growing concern for resources, and more importantly, not just resources, but independent resources. We don't like to be sold things too much anymore, because there's so much information, there's so much access. It's just not cool. It's important to be able to find what you want, when you want, how you want it. And there's only one resource that I've found to offer this to the American public, and it's a resource called Allies Alliance. Today we have with us the special guest, David Cowan, who I've known for some time, the president of Allies Alliance and the founder. Also, we have Kelly Seitz, director of the events for Allies Alliance, and these events are pretty cool. I've participated in some, and I actually will be a speaker at an upcoming one, which we will talk about later. So, Allies Alliance, while you are founded here in Florida, you are national. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Cowan, in the studio today.
It's nice to be here, Dr. Ken. It's a pleasure, and it's nice to have this opportunity to talk to you and to share a little bit about our organization and the mission that we serve.
And the updates, because it's been around for some time now. How long?
We are entering our sixth year. Allies Alliance started in March of 2011, and so we're heading into our sixth year, and we're continuing to grow the directory. You know, when we launched in May of 2012, we only had about 2,500 resources in the directory, and at this point right now, we're about 16,700 resources in the directory, and that's while we have a lot of information here in Florida, we do cover the 48 states, and we have resources listed in all of the 48 states.
Now, before we get into the expanse, the growing nature of this wonderful resource, the origin of it, of course, is something that I'm sure is puzzling some of the listeners. Now, the name Allies Alliance doesn't speak immediately to this is a cancer-related resource, but yet it does on a personal level. So tell us about the name.
It definitely is very, very personal. Allies Alliance, the name is basically a tribute to my wife, Allison, who passed away in December of 2010. The story begins in January of that year. where we were chasing some symptoms and looking for what we thought was a rather normal kind of a situation. And after quite a bit of diagnostic work, the physician we were working with came back and gave us really the devastating news that they had found a cancer tumor. And he was not a oncologist, and he really had no advice or guidance for us. And while he was visibly upset, he really didn't have any direction. And that put us into a period of time, which I tend to refer to as kind of the exorcist moment, where we spent about a week with our heads spinning around, looking on computers and trying to determine what we were going to do. And the amount of information was overwhelming, and it was completely undifferentiated, and it wasn't where we were. It didn't, a lot of it was spread out all over the place. So, while we were, rudderless and adrift and not knowing where to turn, eventually we did get into the system with some help from folks in the church. I always kept coming back to that moment where I just felt helpless, and I didn't know where to turn. I didn't know where the road was going. I didn't even know what language. There was so much of the vocabulary I didn't understand. And so that was really the genesis of Allies Alliance, which has really grown into a kind of a yellow pages for the cancer community.
So you just really didn't want that experience to happen to too many more people, if unnecessarily.
I think that moment occurs anytime anybody gets the diagnosis. But the fact is that to spread the word and to reach out into the community and let people know that the Allies Alliance directory is available, that it is no charge, it's totally anonymous, you can use it, it's open source material, and just to know that there's a place that you can go to find some direction, to know what your alternatives are, to know different people that you can speak with, and where you can go for second opinions, where you can go for supporting services, the different services and the different practitioners that you're going to need along the way, and that are going to help inform your decisions.
The terms come to me, it's almost like a focused internet specifically for cancer.
Exactly what I had in mind, was essentially a clearinghouse for cancer information, a yellow pages, a directory specifically geared towards the cancer community.
Yeah, or yellow pages, I like that too.
It's kind of I don't want to step on anybody's trademark, but it's kind of a yellow pages for the cancer community.
Which very few of us still open up a yellow pages or white pages, but I grew up doing that.
I have one holding
yellow
the
books in
the
New
garage.
York City. So looking at this website, again, you were kind of running down some of the resources, but what are some of the most popular ones that you, when you set out first, you thought, you know what, this is really an area that was lacking in terms of information out there and ways and places I could contact. What resources did you pride yourself in saying, I'm going to really focus on making this special on this site?
Well, to be perfectly honest, it's been evolving. And that would be the most honest response. When we first started, and probably the trigger point, when I first put in cancer treatment, cancer therapies, I think I got 48 million pieces of information back. It was far more than I could have ever dealt with. But when you first start, you're looking for a doctor, you're looking for an oncologist, because you think that that's the logical place that you're going to start. But the fact of the matter is that the first thing that happens once you get that diagnosis confirmed and you think you know what you're dealing with, you want a second opinion. And then you want to know what your alternatives are. Some of the mainstream therapies that are dealing with cancer have some pretty significant side effects and unintended consequences. And so then I think one of the next things that occurs to you is alternatives. What's going on in the alternative community? What's going on in the holistic, the naturopathic? What's going on that is effective? If you decide to opt for a mainstream therapy, what is there to help support your healing process and to keep you healthy once you've made that first foray into treatment? And then some of the biggest things that come up are the supporting therapies. The cancer treatments, if you opt for the mainstream treatments, interfere with the body's processes so drastically. And so you wind up looking for physical therapists. You wind up looking for massage therapists that can help with lymphatic drainage and those types of things. Nutritionists, how are you going to change your life so that you create a space where the body is not likely, mm-hmm. you know, to go back down that path? Right. The treatments themselves are can be, you know, life altering. It's going to change the way things happen.
Of course.
Some of my most favorite things that I think are really cool is there are organizations out there to help people get their house cleaned when they're so sick that they can't take care of their own space. There are services out there to help walk your pets or to foster pets when you're so sick that you can't take care of them. These are things that are really, really important on an everyday basis. Yeah. How are you going to get to a doctor's appointment?
That's just huge with especially these days when you have so many women in their 40s being diagnosed with breast cancer, sometimes 30s, their mothers, their wives, and now the husband has to keep working because someone has to pay the bills.
Somebody's got to pay the insurance payments.
And pay the insurance payments. Yeah, that's by bills, I mean everything, and the new bills. And then you've got kids. They need attention. They need dinner. They need, you know, a clean house. Things can't just fall apart just because, you know, you've been diagnosed with cancer and you're going through cancer treatment. So that's a huge resource. And that's something, those things that people don't think about until you're hit in the head with it all
right.
of a sudden.
The everyday tasks of daily living are interfered with right off the bat.
Yeah.
And then there's the mental and emotional stresses that are going on inside you and inside every member of your family. You know, there is somebody in the family that is probably going to take on the responsibility of being the primary caregiver. Okay, the stresses on that person are significant.
Yeah, and there's many instances where the patient, I know in my experience as a physician treating patients diagnosed with cancer, they feel like they need to be the rock. But it always comes out. That stress mm-hmm. comes out in one way or another. Whether it's hives or anger or yelling or depression or, you know, and then you have the loved one or loved ones that also have their level of stress that builds up and grief and sadness and depression. And, you know, I think at some point they all need someone to go to as well, like you said, to deal with that mental, emotional aspect of the disease.
And that's huge. That is a big, big component of just how you deal with the day in and the day out, the stress of just getting through it and having this larger elephant in the room that you're dealing with, and you're trying to keep positive, stay upbeat, and there's strides and progress being made in cancer treatment every single day.
Yeah.
You know, it's getting better, it's getting more effective. But the fact of the matter is that there's a tremendous amount of uncertainty. And the human psyche does not deal well with uncertainty.
Right.
You know, it just, you know, it wears you out.
And that's so many reasons why so many patients going through cancer treatment do not look outside of the box for the rest of their care. Is because the person sitting in front of you, your point person is your oncologist. And if the oncologist doesn't necessarily feel like you need anything else but that therapy, they're not going to talk about it. Now, whether or not they disagree with alternative therapy is not the issue. It's not within their wheelhouse. So then the patient is stuck on what looks to them to be that certainty of what they have to do. Everything else is kind of goes by the wayside. That's not the way it should be, because everything else should be part of that supportive care. And unless someone tells you, and then furthermore has resources to give you, you're just going to be, you know.
Well, and one of the things that can't be ignored is the fact that depending on who your oncologist is, depending on who you are referred to first, certain treatments preclude the next treatment.
Right, yes.
And so if the first person you talk to is a surgeon, then that may preclude any other possible treatment down the road. If the first person you talk to is a radiation oncologist, that may preclude.
Right.
So, you know, so first choices are very, very important, and making sure that you support your body properly through the process is very important. And, you know, one of the things, I mean, I don't mean to downplay it, but I try to encourage the people that I talk to, and I'm not a physician, I try to avoid any specific advice, but one of the things I do share with people frequently is to keep in mind that you were alive when you walked in the room and got that information. So take a minute, exhale, think about, you know, how the journey's going to go, and bring somebody into the conversation that's going to be cool and level-headed and listen better than you immediately are not listening as well as you should.
That's a good recommendation. The other aspect of this, and what I really want to underline and highlight and all of that and italicize, is the fact that you are independent, and people listening may say, well, there's all of these other websites out there that give these resources. Why can't I just go to them? And they have these special names and these affiliations. What separates Allies Alliance from that?
Allies Alliance is unique in that, and I want to refer to it in the proper kind, is Allies Alliance Cancer Resources Support List, because that's really what we are, is a full-bodied, full-throated cancer resources support directory. But the thing that makes us unique is that we're not beholden to anybody, and we don't make recommendations. We don't tell anybody what to do, and we're not trying to drive somebody down a certain path. We want people to have the fullest possible information. One of the things that's offered on the website is a news feed of cutting-edge treatments. There's a pull-down menu under the Research tab that allows you to find articles on the current treatments that are going on. But the biggest thing is if you go out on the internet and you'll find other directories, you want to look down and drill down into who owns that website and who's certain mission is being served. And there are a lot of large organizations that all they put forth is things that have been approved by the government that are very straightforward. They're very risk adverse. There are other very large directories that if you drill down into who owns them and who's operating the site, you find out that they're only promoting certain therapies and certain things that are only available in certain campuses around the country. So you want to make sure who owns it and who's ends are being served. And I mean I'm on the web every single day, and I can tell you, to the best of my knowledge, we are the only directory out there that takes everybody that serves the cancer community with all manner of services. We don't limit ourselves, we don't make recommendations, but we're not pushing anybody's agenda but the benefit of the patient, survivor, caregiver.
I love that. It's patient-centered, sounds like. That's the way it should be. Independent and patient-centered is what we need more of. And if you're great and your specialty is great and what you're offering is great, then it should rise to the top naturally. So, right?
That's exactly correct. And not everything is the same for every person, you know?
You have some events coming up, and I know Kelly cites you work hard for Allies Alliance. And yes. For those of you just tuning in, just to reiterate here, we have some very important people in the studio. We have David Cowan, who you've been listening to, hopefully, the president of Allies Alliance, which is a the cancer resource and support website and service. And also you have Kelly Seitz, director of events, here with us. And we're speaking about independent cancer resources for those of you out there that need all sorts of different opportunities and options for you, your family, your member that is suffering, and obviously if you're a caregiver, you need it too. And so Kelly, tell us now what's coming up.
Yes, we have our largest annual event. It's our sixth annual Top Hats and Teacups. Mm-hmm. A really, really cool event. It's become really our signature event and something that people look forward to every year. It's taking place this year at PJ National. For the fourth time, we're at PJ National. They do a great job for us, one of our world-renowned resorts here in Palm Beach County. Mm-hmm. And I like to call it a grown-up Mad Hatter's Tea Party. It's just a really fun, unique afternoon kind of cocktail party experience. Our first hour is, in fact, a cocktail party, kind of a mix and mingle. Everybody get to know each other, check out all of our awesome vendors. We have vendors that have all sorts of, you know, fantastic wares and things, jewelry and clothing and whatnot, all kinds of things you can purchase that benefit Allies Alliance as well, along with a lot of different healthcare practitioners and things that would be of interest to those in the cancer community. We have an incredible silent auction and raffles along with that that people can check out. A lot of really great things this year, Disney tickets and resort stays and all kinds of restaurant certificates and things of that nature. Then we move into the main program where we have several different guest speakers, including yours truly. Dr. Ken will be with us this year. And then our main program is a haute couture millinery fashion show, which basically means we go around to local artists, designers, florists, and anyone who has a creative side and ask them to make as crazy as a hat as they can possibly think of. We've had hats made of lampshades and mm-hmm. bird's nests and all kinds of things. And the people modeling these hats are cancer survivors, men and women, all ages, all different types of cancer from every walk of life, escorted by their oncology professionals. We have physicians, surgeons, physical therapists, in some cases family members, whatever member of their support team they choose that's been on that cancer journey with them, escorting them. The survivors are modeling these crazy hats. The audience votes on the winning hat. Then we raffle off the hats, or rather, I should say, auction them off, of course, all to benefit Allies Alliance. And it's just a really fun, unique afternoon. I like to say it's really a celebration of life. The people that you're seeing are all survivors who, you know, we talk about the importance of finding all those resources. And these are people who, because of the support systems they've had, because they've been able to get in touch with these resources in so many cases, even people like myself, I'm also a cancer survivor who were treated years ago that did not have the benefit of something like Allies Alliance. It's especially meaningful to us because we know firsthand how great it would have been to have something like this where you could, you know, go in one place and find everything in your community. So it's all about these great survival stories and people that have gotten in touch with all the things they need to have brought them to where they are now.
So the objective of Allies Alliance is not just a resource, it sounds like, but it's as a resource for survival. The
exactly.
end game is that we produce more survivors.
Yeah, to survive and thrive. You know, for myself personally, it's been so much after the fact. David mentioned the long-term side effects of so many of the treatments, and those are a lot of things that I've dealt with mm-hmm. where I've actually used the directory and gone in to, you know, find various resources. You know, here you find yourself cancer-free, once again, a healthy person, as, you know,
When were you first diagnosed?
I was diagnosed back in 2007. I was only 30 years old, diagnosed with triple negative breast cancer, and certainly had a bit of that exorcist moment as David talks about. I had no family history, you know, basically no risk factors aside from being a woman, just one of those crazy things. And it's true, there are just so many things that you never gave a second thought to that suddenly become very important. And in my case, because I was very young, they were able to, as my doctor said, kind of hit me with the big guns, do a lot of very aggressive treatments. But years down the road, those treatments do have an effect on you, and there are things that still linger to this day, a lot of like muscle neurological kind of things, and you know, just all sort of things you have to be aware of that I have sought additional assistance with.
Yeah.
So that's where, you know, the directory like this is when we start to talk about cancer as a chronic illness, even people that have very advanced stage where we can now treat it and you can go on living, you know, a relatively normal life. These resources become even more important because you're going to need them long term. You know,
yes.
It's not just when you're going through treatment, you're done and okay, send you on your way. Everything's
right.
fine.
No, it's not the same.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can see why a resource like this needs support,
exactly.
continued support, because
yeah.
As Mr. Cowan said, he's seeing as a president the need to constantly keep up and
right.
modulate, modify,
exactly.
upgrade.
Yeah, yep. definitely.
And, you know, the reality is even recently, one of our biggest national institutions of healthcare, Cleveland Clinic, they're spearheading oncology and cardiology, realizing that
yes.
through all
Something
of the breast cancer,
yeah. Yeah.
The radiation to the chest has
yes.
now cultivated a new change in the an increase of
yeah.
you know,
yeah, I just became aware of
disease.
That, this whole new division of
yeah,
cardio-oncology.
Yep. They're seeing people with increased heart. So
yep.
so what do you do? What are those resources? And
exactly.
how do you keep up to date? Well,
right.
there you go. You
yep.
know, unless you subscribe to Cleveland Clinic or Allies
right.
Alliance, you might not ever find out. And
yep.
you might think of it as a totally separate occurrence. And,
exactly.
And, or not do anything to prevent.
Yep.
You know, like seeing an Ayurvedic doctor or a holistic doctor or, you know,
yep.
someone that can prescribe herbs to strengthen the heart and maybe some homeopathics to clear the body of radiation and help the body's cells to regenerate. So these are all things that are available, but you have no clue
right.
if you have no clue.
Yep. Yep.
You don't know what you don't know.
You don't
right.
know what you don't know. I just want to say the website is so important that we get this out there. It's www.allies.com. Allies, A-L-I-S, alliance.org. And again, that's A-L-I-S, alliance, A-L-L-I-A-N-C-E.org. And tickets are also available online at alliesalliance.org. So for support, they can contact you there.
I can be reached through the website. There's a contact sheet there. We are always looking for financial support, and there's a donate button on the website. But in addition to that, I would also reach out to the full reach of this program and ask people that if you know somebody that serves the cancer community in any capacity, if you know somebody that's in business or an individual that offers services to the cancer community, from oncology to naturopathic to alternative treatments to pet sitters, cancer support groups in your church, anything like that at all, they can be listed. They can list themselves in the directory at no cost. It's probably the most important thing is, you know, this is a dynamic directory. We are always growing it. The goal here is to get coast to coast and to have resources listed in every community across the country. And a big part of that is the providers taking the time. It takes about a minute to 2 minutes to fill out the form and list themselves. And the basic listing is free, absolutely free. And I would just really almost beg everybody out there that hears this program, if you know somebody that provides services to the cancer community, please urge them to list themselves in the directory.
There's still a percentage of our community at large that may not use the internet. I found that to be an issue sometimes with people that I say, oh, just look me up on the website, or you can listen to the show online. They go, I don't do that. I still use a pen and paper. Yeah. So for those individuals that really just still use a landline or maybe just a regular cell phone and not a smartphone, how do they get in touch with you?
I can be reached at 561-762-4448. Again, that's 561-762-4448. I can be emailed at info@alliesalliance.org. Or if you're really into the pen and paper thing, you can drop us a line at Allies Alliance Incorporated, 6671 West Indiantown Road, number 50-203, Jupiter, Florida, 33458.
Wonderful. Well, this has been another Maximum Health, and I hope you'll join us on Sunday, April 23rd, 1 to 4 p.m., PGA National Resort and Spa. Save the date, and we'll see you there. If you've missed any part of this show, again, prx.org, Maximum Health, it's right there for those of you that do use the internet. And this has been another Maximum Health. We are so happy to have you every Friday at 7 p.m. See you next time.
Hey, Mr. Music, you sure sound good to me.